I find that one of the great problems of people is that if they fast a little, if they pray a little bit, if they try to live an overcoming life, if they do try to right their wrongs and maybe read the Bible a little, and it looks like that they're making a little progress as far as their efforts, that they get all balled up and they put their faith and their confidence in the strength of their few feeble efforts. And then they just go down on their heads, you know, just like somebody falling off of a building. Folks, that's wrong. Your faith is in Christ. He is your strength. He is your victory. It doesn't matter if you never fast a day in your life and you never pray a prayer and you never come to God and you never call on the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter. The word of God is settled in heaven. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. Whether I believe it or don't believe it, somebody's going to believe it. If I don't believe it, it'll just go down to my neighbor's house and he'll believe it. And the word of God is a historical fact as to what God has done in the behalf of his people. Just as much as Washington and Lincoln and the other things of America or any other country, to whatever the history might be, we say his story. Then it is his story as to the prophets and all of them, that there was a God and that there is a God, and Jesus, as to all the prophetical things that came forward, he said to the Jewish people, he said, you think you have eternal life. He said, in the scriptures, you think you have eternal life. He said, but you need to search those old scrolls and those stories and those prophecies. He said, because all of them testified of me. All of them pointed to my coming. So in the scriptures, you think you have eternal life. Not that you have it, but you think you have it. But he said, search the scriptures, for these are they that testify of me or of my coming. And the same way today, if we're born of the Holy Spirit and we got God on the inside, then our spirit testifies of Jesus. You know, a lot of times I hear people say, well, God, Brother Pike, I believe God offers his love to us. And I believe that God just gives us his love. And God is a loving God. And that is good. That is good. And that is true. And that is yea and that is nay. God is not a loving God that gives us his love. God is love. God is love. God isn't something that gives love to you. God is love. You know, there's a world of difference. Somebody says, Brother Pike, is it the same? There is a world of difference. God is love. He is the spirit of compassion and the spirit of concern and the spirit of love that manifested himself in a human body called Jesus Christ. And he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. So God is love. And when you have faith, like I was telling someone yesterday, I said, your mistake is putting your faith in your abilities. That's no good. The scribes did that. The people of old, many of them did that. That's wrong. See, I don't have a victory because I stay on my knees all night. I stay on my knees all night because I have the victory. Let's give the Lord. Somebody says, how does that work? Well, you try it without the victory and see how it works for you, and then you'll understand what I'm saying. So it's the victory in me, hallelujah, that causes me to be able to do that. That's Jesus. Give him the glory. Praise him because he's our help. He's our strength. He's our happiness. Hallelujah. Whatever you do is to overcome the flesh. That's Jesus. And we praise the Lord. We love the Lord. We follow the Lord. He's our glory. He's our song. He's our strength. He is our everything. Glory to God. I feel him. Don't you feel him? He's at home in his temple. And the Bible said, let all the world keep silent because he's at home in his temples. And ye are the temples of the living God. He walks in you. He talks in you. He's in you all the time. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. And if any man or any woman ever comes to you and tries to preach to you anything or tell you anything other than God is a spirit, and that of the spirit of love that lives on the inside of you all the time, then that man is Antichrist. For if any man deny that Christ is come in the flesh, he is Antichrist, John said. And so then Christ is come in the flesh. He is living in the flesh. He is here in the flesh. And if you can't believe that, then you're Antichrist. I felt some people draw up on me. Let's try it again. Hallelujah. My God, don't you have God on the inside of you? If you don't have God on the inside of you, you need to get full of the Holy Ghost. And you need to get filled with God because God is a spirit. And God is seeking people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you need to get into the Spirit of God. John was in the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And he saw wonderful, wonderful things. And when you get in the Spirit of the Lord, wonderful things happen to them that get in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, it makes you breathe better. It makes you think better. It makes you see better. It makes you understand better. It just makes you better. It's like I said yesterday, people and get in my house, you know. And there's people in this room, in this room, in this room, in this room. And they're getting this done, and they're getting this done. And if somebody's getting one thing done, and somebody else is getting another thing done, and I'm getting in the way, and I have to get out. So that's the way it is, you know. If you just keep getting full of the Spirit of God, the devil will have to get out. Did you know that? The reason that people get sick so much and have so much problem is simply because they don't have the Spirit of God in them like they need. Virtue heals. Did you know that virtue heals? The Bible said, and virtue went out of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and healed everyone. And the Bible said God has called us to virtue and to glory. And it also says, make straight paths for yourself. Make some straight paths for yourself, that the lame be not turned aside, but rather let it be healed. All right, I want to talk with you just a little bit this morning. I'm always enthused in coming to the house of the Lord. And I always love to think about God and think about His wonderful blessings. For serving God is peace. It is righteousness in the Holy Ghost. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have any peace and righteousness. And if you don't have any peace and righteousness, that's proof that you don't have the Holy Ghost. And if you do have the Holy Ghost, then you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because how could you have the Spirit of the Word that heals, that saves, that forgives, that makes rich, that makes eternal, that keeps you alive forever, and not run over with joy? Could a person have health, an abundance of health, and not be happy? No. Could a person be exceedingly rich and have abundance of health and not be happy? Of course not. So then if you have Christ, you have health and happiness and strength, and God is so good. But you know, we're so busy talking about the things that are so negative. In our negative mind, we're so busy testifying about the giants and the resistance of life and the problems of life, till I don't see how in the world we could ever have any faith. I don't see how we could ever have any faith. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, don't you think that when a person's got a pain, that they got a pain? I sure do. I've had some of them. And somebody said, well, somebody just talking away. It really ain't there. Oh, no. Mine was really there. I don't know about yours. It might have been something in your head, but it wasn't me. It was real pain. And but it took the Lord, it took the Holy Ghost to move it away. And should we ever say anything about our sicknesses? Of course, people will say things about their sicknesses. They will mention sicknesses. But do we testify of the giants? Do we testify of the victories of the devil? What is sickness but a lying vanity in the face of the Lord who opposes it, who was manifested to destroy the works of the devil? See, what is problems? What is heartaches? How do you do what you do? How did you build little Bethlehem? How have you ministered to the sick around the world? How have you carried the word of the Lord? How have you published the gospel? How have you given to the poor tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars as to the needy around the world? How did you do that? By faith. You know, Paul one time, he said, Peter had kind of got off base a little bit, and he said, I blame Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. And he said to the people, he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ evidently has been set forth and crucified among you. He said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit as to your new birth? Now that you have begun in the Spirit, you are now made perfect by the flesh. That is going back to the law, going back to the ritualistics, going back to trusting in your works and your way of life. And folks, let me tell you, I believe in works. I believe in works. I believe you need to pray. I believe you need to fast. I believe you need to equip yourselves with a mind to suffer. I believe that you need to know that you're suffering and the pain and the misery, and you need faith in God to overcome your problems. You know, I was telling my son the other day, he and I was talking. I said, you know one thing that's really pathetic to me, Dave? I said, people Every time they run into a little problem, they have a little pain and a little misery, or something opposes them, they think, oh my God, God has left me. I don't have God. I thought I had God. Where is God? I don't know what I'm going to do. Woe is me. You know, it reminds you of the little story I used to read as a boy, Chicken Little. You know, the heavens is falling, and every time he felt a grain fall on his head, as the little story, he thought the heavens was falling in. And some people are so fearful that every little thing that goes wrong, they just know that God didn't keep his word and that God did fail them, and now they're the worst of worst and they just don't have a dying chance. Now, isn't that horrible? Yet one day they say they are Christians and they say they are sons of God and they say, I know my Redeemer liveth, like Job said, you know. But the next day they're not too sure whether there is a Redeemer or not. And the Bible said, he that cometh to God, number one, the first thing is he must believe there is a Redeemer. He must believe that there is a God, or believe that God is. And then next, he must believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It doesn't matter how much you pray or fast. If you don't have a confidence that God's going to do something for you, then you're still not going to be rewarded of God. And someone said, well, Brother Pike, I do all right 1 or 2 days, and then I believe God's going to reward me because I know I'm serving the Lord. But now within another day or two, I'm just in such bad shape, I just don't know. Now see, that's where your wrong is. That's where your mistake is. That's what the preach is for. That's why I'm here. We are for the perfecting of your faith. See, you're wrong. You've misplaced your faith. You put your faith in your works, and that's wrong. See, if you'd had your faith in the Lord Jesus, it wouldn't have made no difference whether you was on the end of the seesaw that went down or up. You'd still believe in God. You'd still believe in God. See, you believe because of what he did. And it's a historical fact that at Calvary, he did it. You know, and as long as I'm trying to fast and I'm trying to pray, I'm trying to study, I'm trying to be good, I'm trying to live right, all these kind of things, which we should do every bit of that. But as long as I'm trying to do that so that I can have faith in God, I'm foolish. I'm foolish. And you're just as foolish. I'm foolish because there is no such thing as the man that said, I fast twice a week, I pay tithe of all I possess. The Lord didn't even have time to even notice him. He never did notice him. But the other fellow said, have mercy on me. I don't have anything to offer. My God, have mercy on me. And the Lord said, it's all right. You're justified. You can go home. It's okay. See, my faith is in Christ Jesus. And it's not in something that I'm conjuring up of trying to work up to where I can believe that God is going to do this. I believe that God's going to do that because I have worked my way to it. Because I am trying to believe. That's not the way it is. I believe that because Jesus died at Calvary, that ended the devil. That was the end of the devil. I said that was the end of the devil. And Jesus said, I've destroyed him that hath power over sin. I've destroyed him that was that part of sin that used the law to get strength to kill with. And I beheld him as lightning fall from heaven. And he said, not only that, but I was manifested to destroy his works, and I did. I destroyed him. Someone would say, well, what's all this problem I got, Brother Pike? Why is it all these problems assail me? Where do they come from? How does the devil get into me? Now, that's a good question. What if I waited for you to answer and tell me? Then we'd all know. You know what it is? Jesus told you what it was. First of all, he said it's your wild imagination. Lying vanities. All is vanity. Vanity, vanity, Solomon said, and vexation of the spirit. And it's lying vanities. And he told you to never think one of those thoughts. Didn't he tell you then? And he said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every thought, wasn't that what he told you? And lean not to your understanding, but just think his thoughts. Didn't he tell you that? And let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. As someone would say, the mind that loves to watch things on television and loves to go to Six Flags and loves to go to the ball games and loves to strip off down by the beaches and loves to make money and loves to have businesses and loves to frolic. And you know, that ain't the mind of Christ. That's the mind of the devil. That's the love of the world. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. When you evilly drink and dope up and fight and frolic and lust with your eyes and your body, your mind, all these things, that's the devil. He said, come out from among the world. Don't even mess with the world. You know, I'm going to say this just before I read, and maybe it sounds a little bit harsh, and I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying it the way I understand it. But it's like we was talking about theology yesterday. I don't try to mock things or mock people, because theology, the study of different things, becoming doctors of divinity or doctors, MDs, or whatever you might, you know, and doing things and accomplishing things and having millions of dollars in businesses, houses, and land, all that's a great accomplishment. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lifetime. It takes a lot of doings. But folks, let's be realistic. When it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it comes to salvation, and it comes to the Holy Ghost, and it comes to the kingdom of God, theology is a bunch of junk. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's the nearest nothing I ever heard of in my life. Preachers going to study theology. That's what's wrong with the world today. We got churches and churches and churches, and we got theologians and doctors, and we don't have any ministers. Somebody say hallelujah. You don't hatch ministers off out of college. As a matter of fact, Frank was, he quit all of that to get to be a minister. Is that right, Frank? But anyway, I'm just telling you, you know, I've said this, sometimes maybe a simple little thing, God revealing himself in simplicity. Oh, the word's not easy to be understood. But can't you imagine Elijah? God says, now, son, you can live in a cave, but you've got to have 3 years of theology. Now, I don't know where he put his books back in the cave while he studied his theology. And I don't know how he would have looked like John the Baptist if he'd have went over with his camel skin on to join the college. I don't know whether they'd accepted him or not. Somebody said, well, I think that's downright foolish. Preacher, for you to talk like that, ain't it foolish? Let's give the Lord a hand. Ain't it foolish? That's what I said. It's a bunch of foolishness. It's a bunch of foolishness. I tell you what you do, and this is from my heart. I read the whole Bible through, and I'm sure you have, and went through it a number of times. Now, you find me one prophet, you find me one apostle, you find me one Christian from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation that ever went to study theology, that ever went to get their doctor's degree, that ever went to do these things, and lo and behold, I'll shut the book and won't never preach again. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't think there's anything like that in there. Well, if there's nothing like that in there, what makes you think it ought to be in there now? Let's give the Lord a hand. I think we ought to let them stay with their books, their education, and the old tree of knowledge, and their theological reasoning, and we should stay with the Bible and God's Word and let them do what they got to do and let us do what we got to do. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God, we don't need theologians. We need the Holy Ghost, and we need the power of God. And we need the things of God. You know, I'd like to say this morning, I appreciate having Scotty here. I met him outside. He comes up every time he gets a chance. And I'll come to visit with him. And I see his wife and little folks back here with him. And we really appreciate him being up here with us. Do you really love the Lord? I believe you do. I don't think you'd come out to be with me if you didn't. I would love to talk with you for just a few minutes. I'm done about preach to you before I ever read, but reading over in the book of St. Matthew's in the 10th chapter. Now listen real close to this. 24th verse. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So, we see here in the scriptures that this is real baffling. I hear people so often say that the scriptures contradict themselves, and man who is not spiritual, of course it would contradict itself, because you can't understand what the Lord means by these things. But he said here in the 34th verse, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And I think, well, my God, you told me he was the Prince of Peace. And I read in the Bible where you said that I'm the Prince of Peace, and all of us are children of peace, and all your paths are peace, and we should follow a peace, and that peace comes from you. And all these wars, I didn't know they come from you, and yet you're the one that said you brought the sword. And then I think, my God, I don't understand this. And he said, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father. And I thought, well, God, I don't understand that. You told me that we're to love our father, we're to honor our father and our mother. And here you say, I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And I thought, I just don't understand. And so I said, well, the Bible just contradicts itself. But see, that's not what it is at all. He is the Prince of Peace. He came to have peace, and they that keep their mind on Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace, and all the ways of God are peace. And the Bible said as to the wars, from whence cometh the wars? Is it not from the lust that warreth in your members? You lust, you can't have, you don't ask, you don't receive. When you do finally receive, as to asking, you want it for one purpose, and that is to use it on the lust of the flesh. So what Jesus is saying right here, he is saying, think not that my coming is going to be peace to people. In their perverted frames of mind, in their ways of life, in their foolishness, in the way that they think and the way that they operate and their lifestyle, don't think that my coming in the world is going to bring peace. But when I come into the world and I convict a heart, and this heart comes to God, from then on his household is going to be his foe. And they're going to come down on him, and that bond child is going to fight in war against that free child. And that one that's trying to live a Christian life is going to be hampered and pressed down and mocked and mistreated in such a way, whether it be in a home or whether it be wherever it might be. You know, because they are standing for godliness and they're standing for righteousness, and everybody is against them. The world loveth its own, but everybody is against him that loveth the Lord. And the world hates you because you're not of the world, because Satan is the prince of the world. But now if you was of the world, and if you would just do like the world and blend in with the world and compromise a little bit with the preachers over here and compromise with the church a little bit over here and the different things round about, you'd be all right. If you'd just let them come into your house and curse and snort and smoke and do anything that they want to do, you know, and say, well, that's my relative, that's my friend, that's my neighbor, then you would be loved of the world. But beloved friend, because you don't do that and you won't do that, brother isn't going to like it, and sister isn't going to like it, and daddy isn't going to like it, and mother isn't going to like it, and your foe's going to be them of your own household. Somebody say hallelujah. You know, it's just like, some things I heard in the last day or two. Some people came up for advice, and different ones that ask us questions from time to time, and we try to tell them the best that we understand. But they're falling. They've been big figures, and they're falling. Like we said, the lights would go out, and the lights everywhere are falling. They're going out. And these people are falling, and they're going out, and they're running, and they're looking, and they're trying to find reality. And like one told me in the last day or two, said, you know, I had my eyes on the natural church. And I thought that that's what it was, the natural church. As to the natural people doing this, you know, this, or they're on television, they got programs, they got clubs, they've got all kind of things, they've got to have the finest kind of suits and sit behind the desk in their ties and all these kind of things and pull millions of dollars in fame and popularity, and the preachers go after them like a bunch of greedy dogs. Forgive me, folks, if that sounds derogative. I don't mean it like that, because real true preachers don't do that. Some of them get mixed up, but they soon get out of the mire. And they go after that thing, and they wind up with heartaches and sorrows and woes and problems and whatever, and they peddle everything from shoestrings to holy water to try to survive. But this particular person said, you know, said, I've come to realize that that's not the church. And another one came to me not too long ago and said, Brother Pike, I'm wrecked. He was a young minister. Said, I went after this thing. Said, I thought that's what it was. And they would just elevate you and raise you up. And said, I know that that's wrong. Now, see, and they're falling everywhere. And like this particular minister, he said, you know, said, I had a lot of people behind me that was giving a lot of money. Said, these were wealthy people. And all of a sudden, said, they just quit, Brother Pike. And said, he was in a fix. He had thousands of dollars coming due and couldn't pay it. See, what happened? The little recession, and the rich froze up. And what happened to the preaching of the church? Because they built on the sands of theology, and they had built as to leaning on the arm of flesh and going down into Egypt for their help. Then when those people pulled away, that was the end of their administration. And it's like I just heard of one over in Atlanta. I call the name. You're familiar with it anyway, but one that has come up fast and powerful in the last few years. I'm real familiar with his early ministry and his way of life. And indeed, you know, from a great family, he's done a lot of great things. And no doubt in this last episode has done a lot of great things. But still, we make a mistake. We make a mistake going down to Egypt for our help. Folks, let me tell you something. I've said this to you before, and I say it again to you. We don't need to look to somebody to carry our ministry. We don't have a ministry when we do that. If I'm looking to somebody to carry my ministry, any individual in the world, including myself, if I am leaning on my ability, on their finance, on my ability to achieve the purpose, then I don't have a ministry. That's not a ministry. That is a make-believe. That is a fictitious thing. A ministry is faith. When you are born of God by faith and you believe in God and you go to tell people about this wonderful Christ and this wonderful faith and what God Almighty has done for humanity, and that you are declaring the day of deliverance, that they are forever and eternally free from their bondages and their problems and all of these things, not because of you or anyone else, but they are free because Christ wrought it. at Calvary, and that my heart is believing unto his righteousness, which is in my behalf, being delivered from my offenses, raised again for my justification. Because he's alive, I live forevermore. Because he resurrected from the dead, sin is forever gone to humanity. And with my heart I believe unto his righteousness, and with my heart I make confession, as with my lips, unto salvation, as to deliverance by means of that, because God has looked down and give me a redeemer, and he is the high priest of my confession. And what I believe with my heart, I confess with my lips, and so then I'm forever free. I am forever free. I am free from the curse. I am not under a curse. I am free from the curse. Well, anyway, to finish the little thought here before we get into that. So then I heard that Junior Pop, which is a powerful figure in Atlanta, Georgia, that has bloomed out in a great and a mighty way. And he had tapes, as we said, the sermons from this ministry while he was running a mission. And he got these through a man that worked at Woolworth and through Brother Johnny over here. And to preach these things that we brought out concerning Revelation, and then start him a series on TV of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he went so high until the thousands poured in. Brother Robertson, all of them came in from what I understand. And it has been powerful. But he made a mistake, and that's like others, like Brother Humbart and many others, which are great men, done great things. But in selling bonds and building the church off of the sale of what they call Christian bonds. And so then overnight, the thing is falling, and now he owes so much money, and he has so much money to pay until he doesn't know what to do. And he's having to pay, even at the rate of the interest, he's having to pay, I believe, more than $2,500 a day, is it, or something? Or somewhere in the neighborhood of that, $2,400 a day, just the interest to keep going. See, and the thing is falling, and now he can't pay his bonds off, according to the report. See, and now he is in a dilemma. Now, this is where we get wrong. Folks, you know, you can get in the ministry and you can just get as big as you want to. I could have got as big as I wanted to get. I had the opportunity from every angle to just get big and big and big and big and bigger. But see, that's not God. That's not God. That's not God. God raiseth up one, God putteth down another. The Bible said, humble thyself under the hand of God, and he will exalt you in these due season. And if you do these things, you'll never fall. See, and God takes care of you, and God blesses you. Like I was telling the individual that he's in such a dilemma over what he must do because he's got such a tremendous thing coming due, even he. And I said, well, I thank God. God has been good to us. All of our properties are paid for. Our buildings are paid for. Our things are paid for. And we're still looking to God. And we're still trusting God. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what if it closed up? I'd say, well, glory to God. I finished my course. Hallelujah. Got the gospel around the world to the best of my ability. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. So then it's not going to fold up. This old ship of Zion is going to keep going. And like John Knox said one time, concerning Bloody Mary, the great, great queen that was so powerful that people feared, and when she threatened John, he said, that's all right, that's all right. He said, be it known unto thee, O queen, that this great anvil has worn out many a hammer. And later her report was, she said, I don't fear the alien armies, but I fear John Knox's prayers more than I do all the alien armies. Let's give the Lord. Because she knew that he was in touch with heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Folks, you're in touch with heaven. Did you know that? You're in touch with heaven. I can tell the way you praise the Lord. You're in touch with heaven. And don't you ever think the world is not afraid of you. The Lord told him when they went into Canaan, said, there's one thing about it. When you go into Canaan, they'll be afraid of you because of your great understanding. And the Bible said, all them that are born of God are of a good understanding. So then we're out to win the world for Jesus, and we're out to do something for the Lord. So we got a report of victory. God is good, and God is wonderful, and God is with us, and God is love. And any time you go to believe, Do it one way. Don't try to do it any other way. Just place your faith in love. Place your faith in love. Love. We built this place on the love of God. I told Brother Taylor and the others when we were coming here, I said we'll have one root, just one root at Bethlehem. That's the root of charity, the bond of perfection, for God is love. And we'll let the authority as to the last word be, thus saith the Lord is God's word. And if we have a dispute, we'll just bring it down to that. And whatever the word says, well, that'll settle it. So then knowing that God is love, when I pray for somebody, I pray like this. I go to pray for Brother Taylor. I lay my hands on Brother Taylor. And I say in my heart, now I say, Lord, I love you. I'm trying to do the best I know how. And I know that you've forgiven all of mine iniquities. David said, forget not of all of his benefits, for he forgiveth all of our iniquities. Have you ever considered that? That God forgiveth all of your iniquities. You know, you say, well, I consider that, Brother Pike. Well, why do you feel under condemnation? Why do you feel half-hearted? Why is it your faith isn't blossoming like a rose? Why aren't you running over with the Spirit of God? If you really believed that God has forgiven all of your iniquities. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I know he did, but the thing is, I've done something wrong. I stumbled, I staggered, and that thing is just such, it's brought such condemnation till I'm just begging God to forgive me. And see, I don't understand that kind of preaching. See, I said, and he forgiveth all of our iniquities. All of our iniquities. Someone would say, well, that's what I say. He did. Oh, no. He did not. He does. Someone said, you mean that whatever I do in the future, God has forgiven me? Oh, yes. He forgive you before you was ever born in the world. Oh, no. Somebody says, oh, no, Brother Pike. Then that means that you are working your way to salvation, and you're not doing a very good job of it. Let's give the Lord. Hallelujah. I like the works of Jesus. And they said, what must we do to work the works of the Lord? And he said, this is the works of the Lord, that you believe on him whom the Father sent. And these works was finished from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. No, not all his lifetime. He forgiveth all of mine iniquities. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you feel like you got the victory? And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith of believing in this. So, believing our way unto his righteousness. Therefore, he hath forgiven us all of our iniquities. Now, he hath forgiven us all of our iniquities. He loves us. God is love, and love worketh no ill to its neighbor. And love finds no fault with that just man. Did you know that even Herod and the different ones could not find any fault with Jesus? They said, and I find no fault in that just man. Just think of that now. I find no fault in that just man. And someone would say, well, I agree with that, Brother Pike. And I agree with it. But the thing is, do we have that just man with us today? I say, do we? The Bible said you're bone of his bone and you're flesh of his flesh. And the Bible said you're born of God, and he that's born of God overcame the world. I said, he that is born of God overcame the world, not for a day, but he overcame the world, and the world is no more, and he's no more in the world, and God has chosen him out of the world and hid him with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Hallelujah. So then we're born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Then what do we say? I can find no fault in that just man. Isn't that wonderful? That's why the Bible said, esteem others better than yourself. Look on the things of the other. Seek the welfare of another. Because others, that is the body of the Lord Jesus. And what you do to them, that's what you do to God. And if you don't do it to them, you don't do it to God. See, in the day of judgment, I was hungry and you fed me not. Naked, you clothed me not. I was sick and in prison, you visited me not. And when saw we ye like this and did not minister unto you? He said, you did it not to the least of these. You did it not to me. So then we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. So then how much sin do we have? Now the Bible said he died to take away the sins Isn't that right? He died to take away your sins as of yesterday. No, it didn't say that. He died to take away your sins. Like somebody come disputing with me, I've mentioned this a number of times, and they said, no, you ain't preaching right. I said, why? Come all the way from Atlanta, Georgia to tell me. I said, why? I said, well, talking about people can't sin. Well, I ask you a question. Can a sinner go to heaven? Can a sinner go to heaven? Now think now. Can a sinner go to heaven? Someone would say, of course. Well, how do they go to heaven? The Bible said, we know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer. If he can't hear a sinner's prayer, somebody said, well, it come to pass that he called on the Lord. Wouldn't do him no good to call on the Lord. The Bible said God don't hear a sinner's prayer. Somebody say hallelujah. Now let's get the horse before the cart. Someone will say, well, wait a minute, Brother Pike. Now that the Bible contradicts itself. No. And someone says, well, how do you get saved? Said, when you call on the name of the Lord, don't that save you? No, that wasn't what it said. It didn't say that. So I said, well, it did say that he that calleth upon the name of the Lord, that would save him. It didn't say that. It said if you call on the name of the Lord, it could get saved. Or that is, if he's the one that is elect, and he's got that election on the inside when he called on the name of the Lord, salvation that was given to him before the world was, in the foreknowledge of God, is revealed to him that he's one of them. The songwriter said, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Someone would say, well, that's not Bible. Well, why does the Bible say when Paul preached, as many as were foreordained unto eternal life, they believe and the rest did not? And why does the Bible say Jacob and Esau? Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And the Bible said the children having done no good or evil, that it might stand according to election of him that calleth and not of him that worketh or runneth. You love the Lord? Yes. Talking about the truth now, faith and the truth. Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel or the truth, and he that God sendeth will speak God's word. Isn't that God's word? Can you prove that's not God's word? It's open house. It's open house. We've got scholars here. It's open house. Whoever hears these, wherever it goes, open house, write me a letter. Call me. Tell me. Come prove it. I challenge you in the name of the Lord. You can't do it. Hallelujah. You can't do it. The devil ain't got a... no ground to stand on. Hallelujah. He can't do it. This is the word that spoke the world into existence. Hallelujah. We're free from sin, folks. Well, anyway, this fellow said, because you say that you can't sin. Well, a sinner can't go to heaven then. I believe you'll agree with me. He can't go to heaven. Then who does go to heaven? Why do you say that a sinner can't go to heaven, Brother Pike? I say that a sinner can't go to heaven because the Bible said, if the righteous, not the sinner, but if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Where shall he appear? All right, so then we know where we're coming from, we know where we are, and we know where we're going. That means, folks, that we are his elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Not only has he loved us, not only has he made us his elect, but them that he foreknew, he also did call through the ministry. And the Bible said no man can come to God because he takes a notion he wants to be a Christian. He wants to shed tears like Esau. He's not going to find that birthright. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Millions of people have done that will be in hell. Me and the preachers that preach what they call the gospel will be in hell. See, it's God's elect. God foresaw before the world ever was, looking down through the telescope of time, all of his works known unto him from the beginning. He saw who would do right and who would not do right, and elected them unto grace and wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then when they were born into the world, sent the Holy Spirit through mankind to call them to this kingdom, to let them know that they're sons, and that's why they were lost. People that are sinners, that belong to the world, they are not lost. That's what they belong to. Beasts out in the woods aren't lost out in the wilderness. They're not lost. That's their home. But a little boy, a little girl could get lost out there, and you'd have to send out a search for them. See, we were lost, and Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said to the heavenly Father, he said, Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was. Someone would say, well, that's Jesus. But he said unto Job, and Job, where was you? Where was you? Even way back under Job, there when the sons of God leap for joy, that was even way before the stars ever sing together as to the joy and jubilance of the Lord. Someone would say, Brother Pike, you mean sons of God leap for joy and praise God before the stars ever sing and worship God together? Oh, yes. Because, see, long before God ever said, let there be stars, there were sons of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Folks, we're talking about Christianity. We're talking about God's righteousness. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about health and happiness and strength. Glory to God. We go into all the world with the glad tidings of great joy. Hallelujah. That's why those people was happy down in Egypt. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So then, Jesus said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I've sealed you, and don't grieve that precious Holy Spirit. You make this body do right. You keep it in line. You line it up. Because to begin with, you can't sin anyway. And if you happen to stumble and make a mistake when you're trying to do your best, don't get melancholy. Don't get cast down. Don't feel like that you are an alien. Don't feel like God has cut you off. The Bible said, happy is he that does not condemn himself over that which he allows. That is, if you're going to condemn yourself, it wouldn't do any good. No matter what God done for you, you'd still be going around melancholy all the time. Even if you had wrought salvation as to your election. But he wants you to be strong and powerful. Brother Taylor thinks he's bringing forth a man child. He wants you to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind of Christ be in you. What kind of mind was that? That was the mind where he said, get thee hence, Satan. Get thee hence. Satan said, if you just worship me, I'll give you all the world. Or he was saying to Jesus, if you'll just let me in that body, well, we'll be king of all the world. Spirit over the body of Moses the same way. See, let this mind be in you. With his words, he cast out the unclean spirits. He spoke as one with authority. Why? Because he knew the truth. The Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, someone said, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I mean, if I know that I got $1 million in the bank, folks, I'm going to spend and spend and spend if I want to spend. Isn't that right? Ain't no need nobody tell me I can't spend, because I'm going to spend because I'm happy because I know I got $1 million. But if I'm just kind of half-hearted as to whether I really don't know it or not, I'm not sure. I just heard of it. I don't know. I might be afraid to write a check. I might be afraid I'd get into problems. See, and when you know that the Lord Jesus wrought these things in Calvary and that you're not under the curse and the curse is gone forever, and as the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy says, that cursed is everyone that continueth not in the law to do all that is written therein. For if you keep the whole law and you transgress in one point, you're guilty of all. And that with the curse comes every sickness, every plague that is written in this book, and every plague that I brought upon Egypt, and every sickness and every plague that is not recorded in this book, it still will come upon you because of the curse. And that's where the world is today. That's where the world is. Somebody said, well, why don't all these plagues come upon them? It is. Someone said, well, it looks to me like that when you try to serve God and you come to the Lord, that's when all these things come upon you. Looks to me like them folks out there don't have any problems. That's true. Why? Because it's when you come to the knowledge of the truth that truth is required of you. And the Bible said to that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. But that servant that did not know to do his Lord's will and committed things worthy of stripes, he shall be beaten with few stripes. So then naturally, as you come to God, that's when the devil comes down on you. Because he uses the law for his strength as sin to reveal to you your impurities and your shortcomings and your abilities. And the Lord gave the law. He added the law because of transgression so that it would reveal our shortcomings, to show that we were separated from God and that eternal doom and damnation was waiting on us. And that with the revealing of these things, we would see that we have need for a Savior. We would receive within us the wonderful Spirit of Christ that we would know that we were shy of the righteousness of God, and that we were cut off from God, and that these things were given to reveal our shortcomings, that we might see our need for a Savior, that we can't handle it by ourselves. But at the same time, the devil saw great advantage. And that is, now this has come to reveal their impurities, and I'm just going to, somebody said, just beat their brains out with it, and I'm going to bring them under condemnation, because I know that their nature is contrary to God. I know that they're born out of wedlock as to the bastard child in the sense of the old tree of knowledge. And I'm going to use this, and I'm going to magnify this, and I'm going to get me some strength that every time they try to lift up their head, I'm going to bring them under condemnation. And that's why Paul said, I was alive without the law, but when the law came, sin revived and I died. And that was righteous as to the righteousness of the law, ordained unto life, I found it to be unto death to me. Said the reason is because I am subjected to vanity as to the creature. And I'm dependent upon the natural sources of life. And these things, I see, I eat, I drink, all of these things, I am bound to the earth by my natural elements as to a composition of a human being. He said, and on the inside, I find Christ. And I delight in the things of the Lord on the inside. And I love to do the things of God. And I want to do the things of God. And I want to go to heaven. And I want to have this strength and this happiness and this righteousness and be pure and clean and holy. He said, but I find that within my body, there is no good thing. That old bastard child image, that old beast image, that old thing that you powder and paint the nose and the eyebrows and hang the chains around your neck and hang bracelets on its arm and the pretty things you put on it and the frocks and you do all these things to project. And God said, I hate it. I hate it. I'll despise it come the morning if you don't kill that thing by the body of Jesus Christ in accepting the Lord as death and get out of this world and get away from them people and get away from that bastard image. I'll hate you in the morning. And in the morning means the dawning of the day star. See, the day star is dawning as to the grace. Gradually, people are learning that they are wrong, and they're learning that they should not have done what they've done. Like the song we say, across the bridge, in my lifetime, I've done many things wrong, the songwriter said. See, and I'm asking forgiveness as the dawn comes, as the breaking of the light comes, as the more you understand, the more is required. And the more you should subject your body, and the more your body should submit, and the more that your body should conform to the mind of Christ Jesus, that the mind of God might possess his body, that the devil of that old mind of yours has stole from him, and to use it for the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and the lust of the eye. See, and now you're coming into that. So naturally, you're the one that's going to have the problems. If you don't know, then you're not charged with it. For where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. But then where there is a knowledge of sin, then sin is imputed. And in that we're no match for the devil, in that the Bible said God has delivered us from the powers of darkness, from him that is strong in us, even Satan. Translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God as to the kingdom of light. That is to say, where we don't have the strength, then God imputes unto us for righteousness, faith. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth the virtues and faith. I wish we had time to preach this morning. I always do. But anyway, blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for righteousness, and blessed is the man whose sins are gone, iniquities are taken away, his sins are covered by the blood, and blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. He that is born of God cannot sin. And Abraham, the father of the faithful, strong in faith, giving God glory, being fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to perform, the Bible said he became the father of the faithful. And it pleased God. And Enoch, by faith, was translated that he should not see death. So we, by faith, have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of virtue and righteousness. Well, anyway, a lot of things I want to say there, but I know that I won't be able to do it, so I just bypass a few to finish my thought. So, naturally, we run into trouble. Them that are still ignorant out in the world, the blood is still on the seat of atonement. Right now, they're all right. But when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, that's the casting out of Lucifer. The end of the days of the Gentiles, the Jews coming in. And inasmuch as that's true, then that means that those people will be accountable at the judgment. Some men's sins go before them to the judgment, the Bible tells us, which means our confessed sins, and we're judged accordingly. And some men's sins follow after them to the judgment, which means unconfessed sin. And of course, they have to be judged and condemned and turned into the lake of fire. But we are at the house of God, and here's the priest, and here's the judge. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham said. And someone would say, well, then, Brother Pike, are you the judge? It is true that the minister does have power to remit your sins or retain your sin. But in that the judge is just in his office, I'm just his office. And the Bible said it's not me speaking, but the judge. And his faith as to whatever the judge says, that's the way it's going to be, according to his law. So I said all of that to say this, that you coming into the knowledge of this as you come to these things as a little child, so that the brightness won't be so great it will destroy you, even as the brightness that comes at the end of the world when everything passes away, the mountain, the seas, everything. See, when that great light appears, but now destroying him inwardly as with the brightness of his coming as to the revelation of the understanding of this great, wonderful wisdom that maketh the man's face to shine. Even God, the great light, this life of Jesus being made manifest in your mortal genes. So naturally it's required of you. But he's coming to you in a little bit of light at a time to where you can kind of cope with the situation and put away from you that evil mind and that evil thought and that evil desire. But when you try to hold on to the world and you try to hold on to the flesh and you try to go on and you try to mix darkness with light, then folks, you're in for trouble. That's why the church has problems. And not going on to virtue, not going on to power, that's why the church is lacking in the fullness of the Holy Ghost to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Without the Spirit of holiness, you don't have any God. He is the Spirit of holiness. And without holiness, no man will see the Lord. All right, so then, as I say, so many things that I'd like to say, but seeing that the time runs out on us, it don't take but a few minutes up here. You get into the mind of the Lord and you get to wanting to do things and say things, and then all of a sudden it's gone. The time is just gone like that. Because there's so many wonderful things to say about Jesus. See, but do you understand what I'm saying? We're not under the curse. I've got to place my faith in his virtue, in his righteousness. Someone would say, well, what about all of my doings, Brother Pike, and all of my efforts? It don't amount to a hill of beans. That's an old country expression that I learned when I was a boy, and I still say it. You know, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. You ain't never done nothing good in your life. And neither have I, and neither has anybody else. Anything that ever come forth from you that was good was God. And anything that ever come forth from me, good was God. And outside that, from your very childhood, the Bible said the spirit of foolishness is bound in your heart. Let's give the Lord a hand. And the Bible said all flesh has corrupted its way before God. And there's none good, no, not one. Hallelujah. And God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He is the God that has forgiven all of mine iniquities. And the beauty of this thing is the Bible said, because all of my iniquities is gone, all of my sicknesses are gone. For the Bible said, as David of old said, forget not all of God's benefits, for he forgiveth all of mine iniquities, and he healeth all of my diseases. All of my diseases. All of my diseases, the past, the present, and the future. Let's give him another hand. If I don't have any iniquity at all in the eyes of God, why then should Satan have power over me for any kind of sickness? Someone would say again, well, where does all these problems come from? I'm going to tell you one more time as we give God another hand. It's from your wild imagination. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Let's get out of that old mind. Get every thought out of the way. And let us go rejoicing, praising God, and giving him glory, calling those things that are not as though they are, because in the beginning it wasn't that way to begin with. It wasn't so in the beginning. In the beginning we were whole, we were healthy, we were the foreknowledge of God, and Jesus and the ministry has come to remind us that we are God's elect as his foreknowledge. We are God's foreknowledge. We are perfect. We are healthy. We are whole. We are rich. We are eternal. We are God's. We live forever. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know of anything to say but hallelujah. When I come to those places, I believe that. And because I believe that, there's a little spring that bubbles up on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Let's stand together and let's sing a little chorus or two. The Bible speaks of the Jewish people. And it said in that day, because they did not mix the word. Though they had the word, but not mixing the word with faith, it did not profit them. I come here and I preach to you, and then I ask you to do something. Believe unto this righteousness, because this is a word of spirit and this is a word of life. The same to 1,000 generations. It's never altered. It's never changed. And it is to you and to your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as will believe. The wonderful word of God is the word of life. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. And the Bible said he sent his word and his word healed them. He sent his word and healed them. I've said this for so many years. He sent his word and healed them. And the way that you get healed is that this voice speaks to you. And through the intellectual concept of the nerves that you hear, just like through these nerves by which you see, through that I hear a word. And then I believe with my heart. And it goes down into my spirit. And it becomes life. It becomes strength. It becomes power. It becomes eternal existence. See, and that word turns into life. It turns into life. Because it was spirit before it took on that sound as an oral expression to a human formation of thought. It was life. And then it went through this little seed or this little shell called the word. As to the sound is to be able to get to you, because that's the way that you record is through your human nerves. Because you're relative to the things of the world or the natural sounds or whatever. And God is to come into your realm. That's why he come into Jesus. And a lot to be said about that as to coming into the body of the Lord Jesus to get into your world. The near kinsman. See, so the real word is here now. The real thing is here now. It's like I said about the theologians. I mentioned this to some of you. An outstanding brother came to me. I believe he's a doctor of divinity. And he knew my feelings about theology. And he said, you know, Thomas, I forget his last name, the one that was responsible for theology for the Catholic Church and for the Anglican Church out of the Western world. He said, you know, said he came to the priest just before his death and told him, said, I made a great mistake in putting out theology. He said, I'd like to call all of that back in. He said, that was a great mistake. He said, but I tell you, he said, I have found the real thing. And said, I would like to try to do something about that before my decease. And they said, history recorded, so they said, you're crazy. You know, you lost your mind. But that's the way it is, folks. You know, people are so easily deceived, and all these things have to be a forerunner. They have to come. Jesus said it's to the end of the world. And first of all, he would gather the tares into bundles. And he has. Bundles of this and bundles of that. And some's in some society, some has given their life to some corporation to be some kind of executive in. They're part of their bundle, and somebody has gotten into a certain walk of society and they're in their bundle. And another is after being some kind of celebrity in the world or a little clique in religion, and that's their bundle, and on and on and on. See, and he said, and after that, once he'd bind them all into bundles, he'd throw them into the fire. And then as he cuts them off and the blood comes off the seat of atonement, then the rapture as to the grain going into the garners. Angels would come and gather the real grain. And sure enough, something is really happening. Something is really happening. And we got our little place in it, and we're called to say what little that we can as to not being Lord over God's heritage, just trying to be an example, not say a poor example as to myself, but trying to be examples unto the flock. You know, and trying to tell you the wonderful things of God as to this wonderful word of life, that you're just as well off as the prophets. That same word that came to the prophets is still here today. And we are reminded that you are the foreknowledge of God, which means perfect. And we're here for the perfecting of your faith as to deliver to you the understanding of God as God speaks through us to you, that you might believe, not in heresy, but that your heart be anchored in the real thing of God, and that you be not blown about by every wind of doctrine as to the ideology of somebody with their ways of trying to set them up something in the world to take advantage of you and enslave you as to their cause and their project. Well, God is good. God is love. How many believe that God is love? How many put your faith in love? Love worketh no ill to its neighbor, and we're God's neighbor. So, Abraham, you're my friend. See, and when you go to pray for somebody, remember, I am asking thee, O great, holy abundance of love. I am asking of thee through the name of the Lord Jesus, knowing that you're like a great body of water that's behind a dam. And I'm going to penetrate that dam as to that middle wall of partition by putting that little hole in the wall, as the story said. So when I call the name Jesus, that water is going to break forth through the name Jesus, and it's going to flood the valley, and people are just going to bathe in the mercies of God. Now, I know that you're the abundance of love, and you've been cut off by that middle wall of partition as to the iniquity that's separated between me and you. And now Jesus has penetrated that at Calvary. He's broke down that middle wall of partition. He'd done away with all of the curse, becoming a curse for me, and all of those diseases and all of those iniquities and everything he has taken out of the way. And God, I'm not going to condemn myself over that thing every time I stumble, knowing I ain't nothing but a little old fella anyway, and trying to get a hold of daddy's hands and mama's hand, and I'm trying to learn to walk. And God, you're going to be good to me because you love me. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. That great, wonderful, nail-scarred hand. He said, I've engraved you in the palms of my hands that I may never forget you. Hallelujah. So then we know we are his. All right. He gives us the desires of our heart. Let's sing this little chorus together. When you pray, pray for me. Pray for my wife, my children, my natural children, and my spiritual children, which seem to be across the world, both of them. All right, Brother Taylor, let's sing this little chorus. Let's sing I Love You. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I love him. Sing that with me, will you? I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary tree. Sing it again with me now. I love him. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Now, aren't you glad that you tried to give your money and your time and your life and your efforts to the real thing? Because the others had not a love for the truth, God turned them over to reprobate mind, caused them to believe a lie by sending strong delusions, and they've given their wealth, their home, everything to all of that that's fallen. And while Moses was away getting the wonderful revelation of God of his day, Aaron was down in the valley collecting the offerings and making them a golden calf, building a great thing. But when Moses came down, the earth opened up and swallowed them up, and God ground up all of that, put it in the water, and made them drink it. So Aaron said, I couldn't do anything else. The people press me, and so it is. The people are pressing. They're saying, give us something. Give us cathedrals. Give us golden calves. Give us something. Give us theologians. We want something. And so he gave it to them. Let's sing this song called Amazing Grace.
Really, this is amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet thy sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see.
Sing that with me, will you?
It was grace that taught my heart to sing, and it was grace my fears relieved. And how precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believe. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Oh, when this battle is over.
You believe you won the battle through Jesus?
The altars are open. We'll wear the crown. He's got a crown. Paul said there is a crown of life that is laid up for everyone. Hallelujah. Jesus said a crown of life that fadeth not away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That crown of life is that wonderful mind within that head of yours.
Wear a crown. Wear a crown.
We'll wear the bright and shiny crown.
Sing that with me.
For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem.
Sing it one more time.
We'll wear the crown. I'll wear the crown.
Remember now, you're to wear the crown, not because you're good, but because He is good. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. I'll wear the crown because He's good.
In that Jerusalem.
Can you really sing it?
I've got a crown. He gave me a crown. I've got a bride.
Have you got it? Somebody said, if I can just hang on, Brother Pike.
God bless your heart. You quit trying to hang on, you might fall off. You get saved.
Somebody said, if I can just make it in. Don't worry, you made it in.
I said you made it in.
He forgive all of your iniquities.
Do you believe that?
Why is it you don't have a crown?
Battle is over. I'll show you my crown in that new Jerusalem.
Want to see my crown?
I've got a crown.
Paul said, I've got a crown laid up for me. Said, salute my women workers whose names are written in the Lamb Book of Life. They've got crowns.
So when this battle is over, you can see my crown in that new Jerusalem.
Sing it one more time.
We've got a crown. We've got a crown. We've got the bright and shiny crown of life. So in this battle,
God said, Israel, I've accomplished your warfare. How many of you know that your battle's over?
Win the crown. I've won a crown. By the battle of Calvary, won a crown. So the battle, it's all over. And I won a crown. Ooh, my Savior there.
Calvary, I want a crown. At Calvary, I want a bright and shiny crown. Hallelujah. Now the battle is over, and I want a crown. For there he won the victory for me. Got the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. He said, you be happy. You be glad. I said, why should I be glad, Lord? I'm having problems. He said, because I've overcome the world. And he did it all for me. I won the victory. Won the victory. Won the victory at Calvary. I won a crown. So now the battle is over, and I've got a crown, and it's all laid up for me. I won a crown. Gave me a crown, and it's waiting yonder for me. Cause the battle, it's all over, and I want a crown, because Christ is my victory. Somebody say hallelujah. You know, the good thing about being a songwriter, if it don't sound just right, you just make up the song and go right on. Let's sing that again. I got a crown. I've got a crown. Hallelujah. How many of you got a crown? Let me see your hand. Give him a wave offering if you've got a crown. You really believe that? Folks, believe that with all of your soul, with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Don't lean to one thought of your own. Not one thought of your own. He did it. Jesus did it. Hallelujah. Jesus did it. Don't you feel like praising him? Isn't that joy? Isn't that joy unspeakable and full of glory to know he did it? And everything is accomplished. Forgived all of your iniquities, healed all of your diseases. That's your faith, the victory. Gave me a crown. Gave me a crown. Gave me a crown of victory. So the battle, it's all over, and I won a crown. Won it at Calvary. I sang this little chorus by Taylor. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, the people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you will be with me. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, give him a wave offering. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you'll be with me. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. Longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall be. One more time. I've crossed over to the Jordan. I've crossed over the Jordan. Oh, I crossed over the Jordan, and Jesus is with me. I've crossed over Jordan, glory to God. Now I'm free. Cross over the Jordan. Oh, cross over the Jordan.
My Savior, I see.
Oh, cross over the Jordan. Come and go with me. Cross over the Jordan, children, and we'll be free. One more time. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, the people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you'll be with me. And the Lord said to Jericho, and we was down there a few days ago, he said, Joshua, there is. He said to Joshua, go down to Jericho, and when you get down to Jericho, march 7 times around. And when you march 7 times around, said, just scream out, and them walls will come tumbling down. And of course, they're laying there as a proof that there was a God, there was a Joshua, there was a Jericho. And we stopped and ate fruits down there. As a matter of fact, we brought some fruits home from Canaan. I remember David Paul and I coming into that place one day, and we got to singing as we was coming near Jericho, and we got to singing that song, and the Lord said to Joshua, go down to Jericho, march 7 times around the wall, and they'll fall. As a matter of fact, me and my wife was singing the other day, we was riding over Canaan land, and we was singing that song. Let's just lift our hands up to the Lord and sing this little chorus that we sing so often, and that is, I will praise him. I'm going to ask Chris to come up and dismiss us. And while Chris is coming, let's pray or sing a song. And I want to praise him. I want to praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away all my stains. Sing it again now. And we are going to praise him. We